has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities, and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. We'll be with you live for the next 2 hours right here on Republic Broadcasting Network, live from the studios on this 20th day of December 2004. Program airs Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m., and that is Central Time. And it's going to be a short week. I guess everybody's taking off here Friday and Saturday. Of course, Christmas is Saturday. Christmas Eve is Friday. That generally follows. I was reading the Austin Un-American Statesman in her Metro and State section yesterday, their Sunday edition, and I ran across this story. I'll tell you about this after the break. But the bulk of the program today, folks, you know, we do a pretty good job here covering the bases of the network, but sometimes we lose that educational thread. And I take a personal responsibility of bringing information to people to let them know exactly who is driving what and for what reasons. And, of course, we always have room to demonstrate that, to talk about current issues and how that relates to globalism and collectivism and all these isms and ists and, well, just a lot of stuff to get people confused. But, folks, none of it's getting any better. I mean, we can all admit that. So, today I'm going to take time. G. Edward Griffin, I consider him a friend of mine, wrote a great book, great book that's still selling as well today as it was selling when he first made it, and that was The Creature from Jekyll Island, which we will be carrying on this network as probably the beginning of next year. But that tells about the banking institutions specifically and how the money was hijacked, at least the currency system in this country. And outstanding. It reads like I've read a lot of mystery novels, and maybe you have or maybe you haven't, but this does read like a mystery novel. It was well put together to hijack the one institution in this country that could basically control everything. You know, the old saying, follow the money. So he came out with collectivism and, you know, what we would term as being the granddaddy here of Marxist-Leninism. And socialism and Leninism isn't always compatible. It does coexist. It does parallel each other in many respects. But even they have disagreements among each other. But more importantly, how these people in their schools of thought have filtered down and have structured the people that are head of medias and business in this country today. And it may shock and surprise you. You know, when we see the major talking heads excluding certain news stories and adding this or doing damage control or doing, a lot of people scratch their head and they want to know why. Well, we're going to explain part of that why to you in this, I guess you could call it a special program today. So we'll take the break here, come back on the other side, and if we got time to take calls today, I'll take calls, but I really want to get into this information, folks. It's information you need to have in your memory library.
Everyone agrees our children are the future leaders of this great nation. How can we expect the founding values of our great republic to continue with future generations when these same values are being phased out of the government-run school system? There is a solution. The Little Red Schoolhouse Project, a community-based school system founded by Dr. Jake Wade to provide a biblical and constitutionally based education for our children. Help us prepare the next generation in our fight for freedom. Ask us how you can help by writing to Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616, or by calling 512-398-4833. Once again, that is Providence Christian Academy, 280 Tenny Creek Road, Dale, Texas, 78616. Support your local Little Red Schoolhouse. Call 512-398-4833 and ask how you can help ensure no student is turned away.
The Bill of Rights protects every American's God-given right to keep and bear arms. Now that right is being seriously undermined as legally registered rifles are being confiscated in some parts of our country. If we're not careful, we may find ourselves with no right to own guns. And that's where Gun Owners of America comes in. Gun Owners of America is in Washington every day fighting for you to keep that right. Congressman Ron Paul has called GOA the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. You need to be part of this great grassroots group of activists who are keeping the heat on their members of Congress. Find out right now how you can join. Call 888-886-GUNS and get started receiving their fact-filled newsletters and action alerts. Call 888-886-GUNS or go to their webpage at gunowners.org and help make your voice heard in Washington. Make that call right now and call Gun Owners of America at 888-886-GUNS. Remember, it's not just about gun control, it's about control.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Okay. That was a little sudden. That's called a fade down, not a cutoff. Okay. And Jack always has these headphones mysteriously low. I don't know how he can hear himself. And I can never make the adjustment until he's out of the chair. And it doesn't work until I sit down and start speaking. So at any rate, okay. We've heard the stories, and it's happening more and more. You know, the ACLU with their separation of church and state, you know, we didn't have that in this country until 1961. Thanks to our card-carrying communist friends. And as much as they talk about, freedom and liberty and your civil rights, I don't know what, you know, civil rights are. I know what constitutional rights are. I know what individual rights are, but I don't know what civil rights really is. Maybe one of these days I'll have one of the lawyers explain it to me. But we've been seeing more and more stories here about God and, you know, taking Jesus or towns and specific cities because they're bending to pressure groups, you know, not even having a, seen Jesus' birth, you know, Jesus, Mary, Joseph, the three kings and the donkeys and, you know, I mean, the whole nine yards. I mean, this has been part of the culture in this country for years and years and years and years. And then we hear some ridiculous stuff, people going to jail or being threatened because They're speaking up for Christianity. They're threatened with 47-year jail terms. And it just goes on and on. So I pick up the paper yesterday, and I'm looking in this section, and they have a real problem, I guess, because in Dallas, because of the Dallas Cowboys, I mean, Sunday is football time, right? I mean, forget the fact that this is a pagan holiday coming up, folks, and it was hijacked. It's not even December 25th is not the birth of Jesus Christ. I don't know if people know that or not, but he was born in the spring. But at any rate, there has been an ongoing move to remove God from the schools and God from our public, you know, anything to do with real conscience, you know, that you can't argue with. You know, we got to separate this church and state, this ideology from government. No, I would say that I sometimes I wish Jesus would have been more of a radical, you know, kicking butt. You know, maybe that would have translated better in today's society. You know, this is the one of the best kept secrets anymore in America. You know, say Jesus Christ, and the vinyl starts sucking up off the chairs. You know, people's hair turn white. They start pulling hair out. They start to get extremely uncomfortable. But you can mention God or Buddha or, you know, whatever you want to mention, and that's all. That's just fine. You know, well, you can mention Muhammad. Oh, that's just fine. You know, but folks mention Jesus Christ, and they go through the roof. Well, a church in Dallas has come up with a little plan here. At Dallas Church, big screen keeps fans from sneaking out. For a long time, the Dallas Cowboys cost the Unity Church of Dallas people and money. On Sundays, when the Cowboys kicked off at noon, some members stayed home. Others left for worship early, or left worship, I should say, early, before tithing time to avoid missing the opening kickoff. Now, they were putting up an announcement saying, "Don't trample the children when you stampede out of here before the service ends." Half-joked Dennis, and I do believe this is Maine Deli, age 50. Then church members Ken Sutherland and Mike Connor approached the pastor with a suggestion. Why not show the game on the big screen in the fellowship hall? So I guess you kind of show up at church, not to go to church, but to watch the game. I guess that's better than staying home. Now, the Reverend Ellen Davenport thought a holy huddle was a fine idea. That's what they call it. "I preach all the time that we need to live balanced lives," said Davenport, senior minister of the 1,000-member church. "If someone's interested in church and football and being with their families on Sunday, I think that's great. So if we can accommodate that and build community in the church at the same time, that's fine with me." I'm surprised they don't have the Dallas cheerleaders in there. Across from the football craze nation, or across the football craze nation, I should say, the temptation to skip services in favor of the home team challenges many regular churchgoers this time of year. In the Green Bay, Wisconsin area, it's not uncommon for churches to review the Packers' schedule before setting the times of church events. In Brentwood, Tennessee, south of Nashville, the lure of the Tennessee Titans played into one of the church's decisions to start a Saturday night service. At the Unity Church of Dallas, the Holy Huddle has brought a halt to the 11:45 a.m. exodus of fans. In a fellowship hall with the piano and stained glass windows, dozens of church members munch pizza, get to know one another better, during commercials that is, and watch the game. At halftime, they go home. So they're really not in church, you see. They're just there watching the game. And I guess they can show up with a wife and the kids, and they can go to the service. Why, these guys, I don't think they drink beer there. It didn't say anything about drinking beer, but munching pizza and having a fellowship during commercials. Of course, they're going to talk about godly things. They're going to talk about Jesus Christ during these commercials, right? They're not going to just talk about Vinny Testaverde in the last interception he threw. No, they're not going to do that. Of course not. The story finishes up by saying, "I really think it makes a difference," Davenport said. "If nothing else, it called attention to how many people were leaving, so they seem more likely to stay. And if they're really desperate to see the actual kickoff, they can do that here." Now, folks, I don't know. You want to call this a changing society with their values or whatever the case may be? And Sunday, and a lot of people will say even Sunday is not the Sabbath that Jesus was talking about. It's actually Saturday. And there's a lot of churches in this country that hold the Sabbath as being Saturday and not Sunday. But you see, everything has shifted and changed anyhow. I can remember when I was a kid, they used to have in Ohio what they called blue laws. If you don't know what that is, folks, stores weren't open on Sundays. Try suggesting that to retailers today, and they look at you like you just landed from another planet and a distant solar system. They would have no idea what you were talking about. But the idea, whether it was on Saturday or Sunday, the idea was to observe a holy day. Okay? Imagine this, folks. Blue laws. You couldn't shop on Sunday. Why would you want to? This was a time that you went to church. You had gatherings. You know, you counted your blessings. You took it easy. You took the day off. Nobody worked. Nobody worked. But in this age of the shrinking dollar and, well, mass media and commercial competition and all these other things, well, of course, the blue laws just had to go away. But this is demonstrating the shifting mores in this country. So when I saw this article here, you can go to, let me see here, what is it? The Unity Church of Dallas. And you can attend the Holy Huddle, folks. That's right. I thought, what a statement about where this country is at this time. You know, I mean, I don't know what else to say about it. It just struck me so profoundly odd. You know, why even go to church? You know, I guess they wanted them around there to drop money into the plate or do whatever, you know, whatever they do. But these guys are bailing out to, you know, before the church service and then get home in time for the kickoff. Now they can go to church. I don't know if they walk into church and then walk out and go to the fellowship hall, but hey, they got pizza. If they're going to have pizza, you might as well serve beer, too. Why not? No hard liquor, of course, but just, hey, beer and pizza and hot dogs. What's wrong with that when you're watching a Dallas game, right? Meanwhile, the country's on a sleigh ride, a fast sleigh ride on grease skids to hell, and we got people like this woman, which I never agreed with having them behind the pulpits in the first place. I'm probably going to get calls on that one. But just goes to show you. After this upcoming break, and by the way, folks, it is the 20th of December. If there's anything that you want for a Christmas gift on anything that we have on the website, call us today. If there's any books or any materials, we can get them out to you and get them to you in time for Christmas for that last-minute stocking stuffer. Just go to our website, www.rbnlive.com. Check out the products page, and of course, you will see all the fine products that we offer, books and CDs and all that good stuff. So at any rate, give us a call at 800-724-2719 to check that list out. Now, after the break, we're going to take a break from the usual. Some people like this, some people don't. You know, some people like to hear guests interviewed and you know, what they have and what they're something. And most people have written books or they're on one topic. What I like to do is go behind the scenes, go back, climb in the Wayback Machine. You know, remember Mr. Sherman's Wayback Machine? Remember Sherman and Peabody there? To climb into this time machine a little bit and go back to see where these formations of these organizations and universities and all these different little mechanisms were set up to transform us into the 21st century, into global governance. You know, it is no surprise to me several years ago that I had two top people from New York come down and talk at me. I mean, it was tag team. Remember tag team wrestling? One would be after you, and then when he got tired, you know, he'd tap the other guy, and he'd come in and wear you down for 3.5 hours, ladies and gentlemen. I had two individuals from a news service in New York that were, I shall call them, at best, greasy individuals. But they didn't want to argue. They were very, very smart. They were very detailed and planned what they wanted to accomplish. And they didn't want to split hairs. You know, in fact, they told me, you know, a lot of what you talk about, you know, we don't disagree with, but, you know, kid, you have to get off this conspiracy kick. There's just not a conspiracy for global governance. Are you guys going to stand around and stare at me all day? I'm going to put a blind in this studio here. You're making me nervous. At any rate, we'll get into a little bit more background here as to how we have arrived in the 21st century and what we're seeing today. G. Edward Griffin, I'll tell you what, if I were to hang my hat on any hat rack, it would be on this guy's hat rack because he's nailed it down to the T. We'll be right back.
You have heard it said, coffee is not good for you. Well, the secret of Asia has finally arrived in America. Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb and miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. For all our products or to join us on our wellness journey to Manzanillo, Mexico in February, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. Again, 1-888-841-6055.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world. And Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. Best Price Coins is the trusted source for your precious metals. Call them today at 1-800-813-8962 and ask what you can do to protect yourself before the next crisis. The professionals at Best Price Coins have made available to all Republic Broadcasting listeners a large supply of $10 liberties, most of which are dated in the 1800s. These coins are private gold coins and not regulated by the government. For a limited time, Best Price Coins is offering these $10 liberties for $288 a piece. That's well below market. A best price from the best place to find all your precious metals. Call Best Price Coins right now at 1-800-813-8962. That's 1-800-813-8962.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the ANT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also, a one-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Walking like a millionaire, smiling like a king. He leaned his shopping cart against the wall. He said, I've been a lot of places, and I've seen a lot of things. But, Sonny, I've seen one thing beat them all. And I was
Gilbert Griffin, Secret Organizations and Hidden Agendas, The Future is Calling. This is actually part two, but this gets into more of the collectivism and where this came about. You see, people in this country that claim to be liberals don't even know that they're Marxist water boys for the global governance. So I will get into this. John Ruskin promotes collectivism at Oxford. Now, let's put theory. Guys, I'm serious. I'm not used to having people staring at me through a window, okay? So just if I turn my back on you, don't be upset. John Ruskin promotes collectivism in Oxford. Now, let's put theory behind us and get back into some real history. From the minutes of the Carnegie Endowment, you know who those fine folks are, we recall the curious words, "We must control education in America." Who is this we? Who are the people who are planning to do that? To answer that question, we must set the coordinates on our machine once again. And we're now moving further back in time to the year 1870. We find ourselves suddenly in England in an elegant classroom of Oxford University, and we are listening to a lecture by a brilliant intellectual, John Ruskin. Ruskin was a professor of fine arts at Oxford. He was a genius. At first, I was prepared not to like him because he was a total collectivist. But when I got his books and started to read the notes from his lectures, I had to acknowledge his talent. First of all, he was an accomplished artist. He was an architect. He was a philosopher. Only the only flaw that I could see that he believed in collectivism. He preached it eloquently, and his students, coming from the wealthy class, the elite, and the privileged from the finest areas of London, were very receptive to his message. He taught that those who had inherited the rich culture and traditions of the British Empire had an obligation to rule the world and to make sure that all the less fortunate and stupid people had proper direction. That basically was his message, but it was delivered in a very convincing and appealing manner. Ruskin was not the originator of collectivism. He was merely riding the crest of an ideological tidal wave that was sweeping through the whole Western world at the time. It was appalling to the sons and daughters of the wealthy who were growing up with guilt complexes because they enjoyed so much luxury and privilege, in stark contrast to the world's poor and starving masses. In this, there were two powerful ideological movements coming to fruition. One of them was Marxism, which offered the promise of defending and elevating these downtrodden masses. Wealthy young people felt in their hearts that this promise was worthy and noble. They wanted to do something to help these people, but they didn't want to give up their own privileges. I will say this about John Ruskin. He actually did give of his own wealth to help the poor, but he was one of those rare exceptions. Most collectivists are hesitant about giving of their own money. They prefer to have government to be the solver of the problems and to use tax revenues, other people's money. Collectivists recognize that someone has to run this government machine, and it might as well be them, especially since they're so well educated and wise. In this way, they can retain both their privilege and their wealth. They can now be in control of society without guilt. They can talk about how they are going to lift the downtrodden masses using the collectivist model. It was for these reasons that many of the wealthy idealists became Marxists and sought positions of influence in government. Now, we come around to the Fabian Society. But there was another movement coming to birth about the same time that eventually gave completion to the hardcore Marxists. Some of these members of the wealthy and intellectual classes of England formed an organization to perpetrate the concept of collectivism, but not exactly according to Marx, mind you. This was called Fabian Society. The name is significant because it was in honor of Quintus Fabius Maximus, the Roman general who in the 2nd century B.C. kept Hannibal at bay by wearing down his army with delaying tactics, endless maneuvering, and avoiding confrontation wherever possible. Unlike the Marxists who were in a hurry to come to power through direct confrontation with established governments, the Fabians were willing to take their time to come to power without direct confrontation, working quietly and patiently from inside the target governments. To emphasize this strategy and to separate themselves from the Marxists, they adopted the turtle as their symbol. And this official shield portrays an image of a wolf in sheep's clothing. These two images perfectly summarize their strategy. It is now 1884, and we find ourselves in Surrey, England, observing a small group of these Fabians sitting around a table in the stylish home of two of their more prominent members, Sidney and Beatrice Webb. The Webbs later would be known worldwide as the founders of the London School of Economics. Their home eventually was donated to the Fabian Society and became its official headquarters. Around the table are such well-known figures as George Bernard Shaw, Arnold Toynbee, H.G. Wells, and numerous other similar caliber people. By the way, the Fabian Society still exists, and many more prominent people are members, not the least of which is England's Prime Minister, Tony Blair. H.G. Wells wrote a book to serve as a guide showing how collectivism can be embedded in our society without arousing alarm or serious opposition. It was called The Open Conspiracy, and the plan was spelled out in minute detail. His fervor was intense. He said that old religions of the world must give way to the new religion of collectivism. The new religion should be the state, he said, and the state should take charge of all human activity, with, of course, elitists such as himself in control. On the very first page, he says, "This book states as plainly and clearly as possible the essential ideas of my life, the perspective of my world. This is my religion. Here are my directive, aims, and criteria of all that I do." We'll continue after this short break. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of Choice Garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-699-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
Want to look good and feel great? Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Well, there are things you can do and natural products available that are strong and safer than harsh synthetics. Rediscover ancient secrets with therapeutic grade A essential oils. The molecular structure of essential oils is highly oxygenating in nature, increasing vitality and energy to the body. Our essential oils and supplements are all natural and absolutely pure to help you discover optimal health, essential nutrition, emotional well-being, and effective weight management. Whether using our products or looking for a home-based business, you'll be glad you contacted us by calling 1-800-993-OILS. Therapeutic-grade essential oils are emerging as the missing link to modern medicine. That's 1-800-993-6457. You can also visit our website at www.naturesoils.org. That's www.naturesoils.org.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Speaking about H.G. Wells, the open conspiracy, when he said that collectivism was his religion, he was serious. Like many collectivists, he felt the traditional religion is a barrier to acceptance of state power. It is a competitor for man's loyalties. Collectivists see religion as a device by which the clerics keep the downtrodden masses content by offering a vision of something better in the next world. If your goal is to bring about change, contentment is not what you want. You want discontentment. That's why Marx called religion the opiate of the masses. It gets in the way of revolutionary change. Wells said that collectivism should be become the new opiate, that it should become the vision for better things in the next world. The new order must be built on the concept that individuals are nothing compared to the long continuum of society, and that only by serving society do we become connected to eternity. He was very serious about this. The blueprint in the open conspiracy has been followed in all the British dependencies and the United States. As a result, today's world is very close to the vision of H.G. Wells. A worship of God called society has become a new religion. No matter what insult to our dignity or liberty, we are told it's necessary for the advancement of society. And that has become the basis for contentment under the hardships of collectivism. The greater good for the greater number has become the opiate of the masses. Now, as I said earlier, there's a love-hate relationship between Fabians and the Leninists, or the Marxist-Leninists. Fabians and Marxists are in agreement over their mutual goal of collectivism, but they differ over style and sometimes tactics. When Marxism became fused with Leninism, it made its first conquest in Russia. These differences became the center of debate between the two groups. Karl Marx said the world was divided into two camps, eternally at war with each other. One was the working class, which he called the proletariat, and the other was the wealthy class who owned the land and the means of production. This class he called the bourgeois, or bourgeoisie. Fabians were never enthusiastic over this class conflict view, probably because most of them were, well, the bourgeois themselves. But Lenin and Stalin accepted it wholeheartedly. Lenin described the Communist Party as the vanguard of the proletariat. It became a mechanism for total and ruthless war against anyone who even remotely could be considered to be bourgeois. When the Bolsheviks came to power in Russia, landowners and shopkeepers were slaughtered by the tens of thousands. This brutality offended the sensibilities of the more genteel Fabians. It's not that the Fabians were opposed to force and violence to accomplish their goals. It's just that they prefer it as a last resort, whereas the Leninists were running amok in Russia, implementing a plan of deliberate terror and brutality. Fabians admired the Soviet system because it was based on collectivism, but they were shocked at what they considered to be needless bloodshed. It was a disagreement over style. When Lenin became the master of Russia, many of the Fabians joined the Communist Party, thinking it would become the vanguard of world socialism. They likely would have stayed there if they hadn't been offended by the brutality of the regime. To understand the love-hate relationship between these two groups, we must never lose sight of the fact that Leninism and Fabianism are merely variants of collectivism. Their similarities are much greater than their differences. That is why their members often move from one group to the other, or why some of them are actually members of both groups at the same time. Leninists and Fabians are usually friendly with each other. They may disagree intensely over theoretical issues and style, but never over the goals. Margaret Cole was the chairman of the Fabian Society from 1955 to 1956. Her father, G.D.H. Cole, was one of the early leaders of the organization, dating back to 1937. In her book, The Story of Fabian Socialism, she describes the common bond that binds collectivists together. She said this, "It plainly emerges that the basic similarities were much greater than the differences, that the basic Fabian aims of the abolition of property through legislation and administration, of the communal control of production and social life, were pursued with unabated energy by people trained in Fabian traditions. Whether at the moment of time they were called themselves Fabians or loudly reputed the name, the fundamental likeness is attested by the fact that after the storms produced first by syndicalism and then by Russian Revolution in its early days had died down, those rebel Fabians who had not joined the Communist Party and many who have initially joined it left it in all haste. Together with G.D.H. Cole's connections in the working class education movement and his young disciples from Oxford, of the 20s, found no mental difficulty in entering the revived Fabian Society of 1939. Nor did we, the surviving faithful, find any difficulty with collaborating with them." Now, Fabians, and that's the end quote, Fabians are, according to their own symbolism, wolves in sheep's clothing, and that explains why their style is more effective in countries where parliamentary traditions are well established, and where people expect to have a voice in their own political destiny. Leninists, on the other hand, tend to be wolves in wolves' clothing, and their style is more effective in countries where parliamentary traditions are weak and where people are used to dictators anyhow. So, in countries where parliamentary traditions are strong, the primary tactic for both of these groups is to send their agents into power centers of society to capture control from the inside. Power centers are those organizations and institutions that represent all the politically influential segments of society. These include labor unions, political parties, church organizations, segments of the media, educational institutions, civic organizations, financial institutions, and industrial corporations, just to name a few. In a moment, I'm going to read a partial list of the membership of the organizations called the Council on Foreign Relations. and you will recognize that the power centers these people control are classic examples of this strategy. The combined influence of all these entities add up to a total political power of the nation. To capture control of a nation, all that is required is to control its power centers, and that has been the strategy of the Leninists and the Fabians alike. They may, as I said earlier, they may disagree over style. They may compete over which of them will dominate the coming New World Order, over who will hold the highest positions in the pyramid of power. They may even send opposing armies into battle to establish territorial preeminence over portions of the globe. But they never quarrel over goals. Through it all, they are blood brothers under the skin, and they will always unite against their common enemy, which is any opposition to collectivism. It is impossible to understand what is unfolding in the war and on terrorism today without being aware of this reality. Now, the key that unlocks the door that hides the secrets. The Fabian symbols of the turtle and the wolf in sheep's clothing are emblazoned on a stained glass window that used to be in the Fabian headquarters. The window has been removed, we are told, for safety, but there are many photographs showing the symbols in great detail. The most significant part appears at the top in the famous line from Omar Khayyam, "Dear love, couldst thou and I with fate conspire to grasp this sorry scheme of things entire? Would we not shatter it to bits and then remold it nearer to the heart's desire?" Now, let me repeat that line. Now, this is the key to modern history, and it unlocks the door that hides the secrets of the war on terrorism. "Dear love, couldst thou and I with fate conspire to grasp the sorry schemes of things entire? Would we not shatter it to bits and then remold it nearer to our heart's desire?" Everywhere in the window there is a depiction of Sidney Webb and George Bernard Shaw striking the earth with hammers. The earth is on an anvil, and they are striking with hammers to shatter it to bits. That's what they were saying in the Carnegie Endowment Fund. That's what they were saying at the Ford Foundation. War is the best way to remold society. War. It will shatter society to bits, break it apart, and then we can remold it nearer to our heart's desire. And what is their heart's desire? Ladies and gentlemen, it is collectivism. The secret society created by Cecil Rhodes. By the way, if you pay attention to who these great Rhodes scholars are, they've all been schooled in this Fabian thought, or the collectivist thought. Now, let me take a break here for just a second, just to remind you that what we're facing here in this country is collectivism. Many people call them communist. Some people call them socialist. But to boil it all down and to get rid of any superficial differences, for all intents and purposes, ladies and gentlemen, it is their bedrock. It is collectivism. Think about it in these terms. In this country, why did we have to start these collectivist models? Why would we have to spend people's tax dollars to take a little bit initially from everybody's pocket to do the greater good for the smaller minorities that were downtrodden? Sounds good, doesn't it? Until you look at what it evolves into. What are we seeing today? We just had President Bush today in his end-of-the-year speech. Well, it was supposed to be a news conference. Very carefully picked people, by the way, to attend that conference. But the majority of the time was taken up by a prepared statement. And one of the questions that came out was about Social Security, you know, about privatizing it. And, you know, when it first started, there was like 15 to 18 people for every person that was withdrawing funds out of this trust. And there was 15, 18 people paying into it. Now it's almost a one-to-one, and it cannot last. But folks, see, we're talking about this country. We're talking about where nobody gets a free ride. If you're not willing and able to step up and at least give the appearance that you're doing something of worth, why would you receive a benefit or entitlement? This just breeds an entire underclass that becomes dependent on what? That's right, government. So how are these people, and this is about control, so when any issue comes up and these people that are dependent on the government need to be persuaded to move in a certain direction, all you have to do is say, well, look, continue with this and we'll withdraw your free lunch. Oh, you can't do that, because what has been bred out of these people is their independence. What has been bred out of them is their ability to think. What has been bred out of them is that the idea that no man is entitled to survive on his face of the earth if you don't bust a sweat for your own benefit. But we have people in this country that believe that entitlements are part of their birthright. The Social Security Trust Fund, folks, has been robbed of some $40 trillion. I said trillion, not billion. And it's the system is getting ready to fall apart. This is why Bush wants to move it partially. And again, we pick up another ism or ist here. Well, that's right. Fascist. We're gonna take government control and move it into kind of a private area, but the government's going to maintain control. Folks, that's classic. That's classic. Ask Benito Mussolini. Oh, I'm sorry, they hung him. But you see my point. Where in the Constitution does it say anything about retirement benefits, about medical benefits? And then you have the classic bushwhacker, Hillary Clinton. She wants what? In her, it takes a village. She wants socialized medicine. Many of these Marxists, thinly disguised Marxists, see, and you wouldn't know that if you weren't down with what the concepts and the precepts are of a constitutional republic. Small government stays out of your way, doesn't rob you blind. It seeks only to exist to make sure that you maintain your existence. Boil that one down. That's basically what it is. But now that is not the case. We now have a government with past, present, and future obligations such as Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, and a sundry other programs that they throw money at. And keep in mind that they're not reaching in a bag and pulling out cash. They're borrowing and mortgaging our future here, folks. Okay? $73 trillion. If that does not spell economic doom and bankruptcy to anybody, then you can't balance a checkbook. I will continue with Mr. Griffin's article. From the vantage point of our time machine, we now flash back to the classroom where John Ruskin is extolling the virtues of collectivism, and we notice that one of the students is taking copious notes. His name? Cecil Rhodes. It will be revealed in later years that this young man was so impressed by Ruskin's message that he often referred to those notes over the next 30 years of his life. Rhodes became a dedicated collectivist and wanted to fulfill the dream and the promise of John Ruskin. His life mission was to bring the British Empire into dominance over the entire world, to reunite with America, which they tried to do several times but failed. But did they? Think about it. Reunite with America and create the world government based on the model of collectivism. His biographer, Sarah Millen, summed it up when she wrote, and I quote, "The government of the world was Rhodes. Simple desire." End quote. Most people are aware that Rhodes made one of the world's greatest fortunes in South African diamonds and gold. What is not widely known is that he spent most of that fortune to promote the theories of John Ruskin. One of the best authorities on the Fabian Society is Carol Quigley. Oh, that's right, Carol Quigley. This was Bill Clinton's mentor. Bill Clinton, Rhodes Scholar. Or I'm sorry, was it Rhodes or Oxford? I don't think it really mattered. No, Rhodes Scholar. One of the best authorities on the Fabian Society is Carol Quigley, a highly respected professor at Georgetown University. One of Quigley's former students was, oh, that's right, here it is right here, President Bill Clinton. At a press conference shortly after he was elected, Clinton mentioned Quigley by name and acknowledged that he was indebted to him for what he had learned. What Quigley was teaching was similar to what John Ruskin had taught and, like Rhodes, before him. Clinton took those lectures very seriously. Incidentally, it should not go unnoticed that Clinton was a Rhodes Scholar. I was right. Memory serves. In his book, The Anglo-American Establishment, Quigley says this: "The Rhodes Scholarship established by the terms of Cecil Rhodes, seventh, will be known to everyone. What is not widely known is that Rhodes, in five previous wills, left his fortune to form a secret society, which was to devote itself to the preservation and expansion of the British Empire. And what does not seem to be known to anyone is that this secret society continues to exist to this day. To be sure, it is not a childish thing like the Ku Klux Klan, and it does not have any secret robes, secret handclasps, or secret passwords, It does not need any of these since its members know each other intimately. It possibly has no oath of secrecy nor any formal procedure of initiation. It does, however, exist and hold secret meetings. This group is, as I shall show, one of the most important historical facts of the 20th century. One of the leaders of the organizers of the secret society was W.T. Stead, who wrote a book about the wills of Cecil Rhodes. In that book, Stead said this: Mr. Rhodes was more than a founder of a dynasty. He aspired to be the creator of one of those vast semi-religious, quasi-political associations which, like the Society of Jesus, have played so large a part in world history. To be more strictly accurate, he wished to found an order as an instrument of the will of the dynasty. Now, the structure of the secret society was formed along classical conspiratorial lines. And I'll talk more about this. Folks, listen very carefully to what I'm saying. Please listen very carefully, because here is the nub of what's going on in America. But see, we're kind of schizophrenic here. We want to be world beaters and people beaters, but we want to still adhere to this, you know, this collectivism deal. It causes a lot of angst and disconnect for a lot of folks. We'll explain.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
For over 5,000 years, gold has been the only true money in this world, and Republic Broadcasting has found the company you need to protect yourself against financial insecurity. Best Price Coins is the trusted source for your precious metals. Call them today at 1-800-813-8962 and ask what you can do to protect yourself before the next crisis. The professionals at Best Price Coins have made available to all Republic Broadcasting listeners a large supply of $10 liberties, most of which are dated in the 1800s. These coins are private gold coins and not regulated by the government. For a limited time, Best Price Coins is offering these $10 liberties for $288 a piece. That's well below market. A best price from the best place to find all your precious metals. Call Best Price Coins right now at 1-800-813-8962. That's 1-800-813-8962.
Have you heard about the Ark Institute and their famous non-hybrid heirloom vegetable seeds? No genetic engineering there. In fact, you may never need to buy seeds again. These days, you need to ensure that your family can eat no matter what happens. The Ark Institute has agreed to offer Republic listeners free shipping on their complete collection of 40 non-hybrid heirlooms and their best-selling gardening how-to manual, Build Your Ark. Their packets are generous enough for fresh eating, seed saving, and canning and freezing, too. Green beans, corn, carrots, peas, the list goes on and on. Learn how to be self-sufficient in good times and bad. A complete family food security package is just $99. And remember, shipping is free. Call 1-800-255-1912. That's 1-800-255-1912. Or visit arkinstitute.com.
Most of the better-known conspiracies of history have been structured as rings within rings. Generally, there's a leader or a small group of two or three people at the center. They form a ring of supporters around them, or perhaps 10 or 12, and those people think they are the total organization. Now, they're not aware of the two or three of their group who are in control, And then the 12 create a larger ring around them, or perhaps 100 people who all think they are the total organization, not realizing there are 12 who are really directing it. These rings extend outward until finally they reach into the mainstream community, where they enlist the services of innocent people who perform various tasks of secret society without realizing who is creating the agenda or why. Now, the Rhodes Organization was set up exactly along those lines. Quigley tells us this. In the secret society, Rhodes was to be the leader. Stead, Brett, that's Lord Escher, and Milner were to form an executive committee called the Society of the Elect. Arthur Lord Balfour, Sir Harry Johnston, Lord Rothschild, Albert Lord Grey, and others were listed as potential members of the Circle of the Initiate, the Initiates. And while there was to be an outer circle known as the Association of Helpers, later organized by Milner as the Round Table Organization. Now, after the death of Cecil Rhodes, the organization fell under the control of Lord Alfred Milner, who was Governor General and High Commissioner of South Africa, also a very powerful person in British banking and politics. You know, and let me just throw an adjunct here, folks. Is it any wonder why we had socialism so rampant in South Africa or in Africa? Think about it. He recruited young men from the upper class of society to become part of the Association of the Helpers. Unofficially, they were known as Milner's Kindergarten. They were chosen because of their upper class origins, their intelligence, and especially because of their dedication to collectivism. They were quickly placed in important positions in government and other power centers to promote the hidden agenda of the secret society. Now, eventually, this Association of Helpers became the inner rings of the larger groups, which expanded throughout the British Empire and into the United States. This is what Quigley says. Through Lord Milner's influence, these men were able to win influential posts in government, in international finance, and become the dominant influence in the British imperial affairs and foreign affairs up to 1939. In 1909 through 1913, they organized semi-secret groups known as the Round Table Groups in the chief British dependencies and the United States. These still function in 8 countries. Once again, the task was given to Lionel Curtis, who established in England, in each dominion, a front organization to the existing local Round Table Group. This front organization, called the Royal Institute of International Affairs, had at its nucleus each area the existing submerged Round Table Group. In the New York area, it was known as the Council on Foreign Relations, and it was a front for J.P. Morgan and Company. Now, at last, we come to that obscure organization that plays such a divisive, or should I say decisive, role in contemporary American political life, the Council on Foreign Relations. Now we understand that it was spawned from the secret society created by Cecil Rhodes, which still exists today, that originally it was a front for J.P. Morgan and Company, and that its primary purpose is to promote world government based on the model of collectivism. Now, on the issue of Council on Foreign Relations. So who are the members of the Council on Foreign Relations? Well, you'll have to stick around next hour, second hour of the National Intel Report, to find out the answer to that question. 3210 on the shortwave now for your international listeners. If I get through this, and I suppose I will here in just a short while, we'll take your phone calls at 800-313-9443. And also, try to get our minds wrapped around what we're seeing, say, in a George Bush presidency versus, say, if Marx or Lenin were occupying the White House right now. Folks, it is about control. It is about manipulation. But always keep your eye on the ball. That's world government. Oh, and ironically enough, that's what George Bush is doing with the free trade era of Americas. Is he really a conservative, religious Republican? I doubt it. Stay tuned. Next hour coming up.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making lacking bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
You're listening to RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network. RBN Live.